Travel Mum.
Yeah, we're joined by Andrea Bailey, our travel mum, looking at travelling with the family. We're on safari this week. We've been to the Serengeti and the Mara, but those aren't the only big parks that we can go and photograph our animals, is it?
No, there's a lot of options even within both these countries, of course, and the Mara is the most popular, but having said that, there are a lot of other options as well. So Amboseli, for example, the Amboseli place has got, it's well known for the elephants, the elephant population there, and of course the Kilimanjaro in the backdrop. Is just amazing. So this is something where you'd go if you want a nice picture of, you know, elephants with the backdrop of this mountain.
Yeah.
So, and then of course you've got Lake Manyara, which is well known for the flamingos. You've got, you know, tens and thousands of these flamingos in there. So they're all the color pink because of what they eat. But again, that's a great photo op if you like that.
What do they eat?
Little tiny pink
shrimp, I guess. Shrimp,
yeah.
Pink things. Okay.
And then Lake Nakuru actually is one of the flamingos.
Okay.
And Lake Manyara, interestingly, now I'm just crossing over from, you know, Kenya into Tanzania because it's East Africa. These are parks all over. But the Lake Manyara has lions that climb trees, and they don't know why they do it. People don't know why they do it. They have researched it, but they do actually climb up, and it's not unusual to see an entire group of lions up in the tree. For a few hours at least.
Do they do it because it's a good vantage point to see prey? Or simply, you know, the ground's hot, they want to get some shade and
I think it's about the shade and just relaxation, really. So,
Maybe they just like climbing.
Yeah, yes. Maybe.
Yeah, now there's also a crater there, isn't there?
Yeah, now this was my favorite spot in Tanzania. This was amazing. The Ngorongoro crater, and I would say if you have the time to see this, absolutely amazing. Now, this has prehistoric it's prehistoric in nature because you've got this huge crater, and then because of the nature of the place, you've got all these animals and you know, that are in there and that actually can't get out. Mm-hmm. So you've got an entire ecosystem in there. You've got your big five, absolutely all of them in there, and amazing again because of the richness, you know, in the populations of these animals. So this is definitely worth seeing.
If they can't get out, then you're pretty much guaranteed to see the animals.
Yeah, and what's interesting is the lodges that are in that place are actually perched on top of the crater. So you have this amazing view into, you know, the entire space down. And then your drives also would be actually down into the crater and up again. So it's amazing. I love this place.
Now, something that I know Mark and I would love to take part in, but maybe not for families with younger children, is hot air ballooning.
Mark and I. Are you serious?
Well, I don't know.
No, Mark, you should do
I'm
it.
I'm not
absolutely.
A height
today,
guy.
Today's the day that Mark is just giving new things a go.
Hot air ballooning, okay.
Well, you only live once. Now, this is recommended, from what I've been told, for children above 15. So you wouldn't go because you need to be an adult size, actually, to you know, do the hot air ballooning. But again, trip of a lifetime. If you can do this completely on your bucket list, please do it. They take you up at dawn, so you get into this hot air balloon, and then they kind of, you go up, and as the light of the sun, you know, it's just hitting the grounds, and you can see all of these animals waking, and, you know, these herds moving, and you've got vantage point in that sense, because you're up there, and you can see everything that's
going on. Like a scene out of The Lion King.
It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, speaking of lions, we actually saw, my most memorable, you know, moment was actually this mother cub, mother lion with her two cubs. You know, just playing around, and we could see them from, you know, a few meters above, and it was just so amazing. So it was absolutely...
You caught that intimate moment, yeah.
Yeah, and then it ends with breakfast on the plane. So they set up this table when you land, and they serve you this phenomenal breakfast, and you're actually sitting at this place, and all these wildebeests just around you, you know, in the background. It is something else. It is really something else. So I would recommend this.
This
if
is
you can leave your, you know, smaller children behind.
Yeah, for the hot air ballooning, yes. Yeah. This is a question that has come in from time to time from parents who do want to go on safari, but they want their children to experience the beauties of seeing these animals and being so close and being in nature. But how young is too young, just to say, maybe wait a few years?
Well, actually, the lodges there do allow children, and some of them do allow even, you know, smaller children, 2 years even. So, but what I would say is for safari drives, they need to be at least 5 to 6 years old. A, to be able to take that kind of a dusty ride, and B, to just kind of enjoy what they're seeing, really. Mm. So I would say if you can wait, then maybe 5 or 6 and above, that would be good, because they would be more excited about it. And I could totally see taking my, you know, 5-year-old, 6-year-old into this place.
Yeah. Now, also a visit to the Maasai is high on everyone's list.
Yeah, the Maasai village.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this may seem a bit, you know, touristy to a few people, but it's nice because you can actually go there, spend some time with them, and actually help their local community as well. Even if you're just buying a few things and just supporting them, that's a good thing to do, I think. So, yeah.
Now, there's a notion that safaris are expensive, but it doesn't have to be, does it? You know, they can come, you can find affordable ones.
Yes, you can. And depending on the time of year, for example, now there's Eid coming up. There are a lot of Eid offers on. You would need to choose wisely, choose your operator well, because these are, you know, run by local tour operators, and you can't just go there and drive your own vehicle, obviously.
No.
You need to be taken in, and they have to be properly licensed, you know, and all of that. So we do, I mean, I would say plan ahead. Again, the time of year is very important. July, August is peak season for the Maasai Mara, so it's a great time, like I said, to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, prices at this time do go through the roof. So if you're doing it, if you're booking it, you know, book ahead. If you can book ahead in time, that would be a good idea, yeah.
Let's talk numbers, because I had this idea in my head that if you want to go on safari, we're talking 10,000 dirhams plus plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be for probably an extended duration of safari. So, but if you're taking smaller children, or, you know, children less than 10 years old, then a shorter trip is fine as well. So you're looking at a spend of approximately, at this moment, I've got Eid offers on for as little as 3,500, including flights, with a few nights stay, so about 3 nights, so 4 nights stay in Mara, and maybe one more park, and then back. So they're taking care of all your safari drives as well. So that's quite reasonable, I think. And 4,500 approximately per adult.
What about places to stay? What would you recommend there, Andrea?
Yeah, so you have your budget and mid-range lodges and tented camps, of course. So you have kind of a range to choose from.
Yeah.
But the luxury options do exist. And I would have to say at this point, the Fairmont have two very nice properties there. The Mara Club and the Mount Kenya property are really nice. And then the Elivana Collection have their own luxury camps as well. And this is just two among quite a few options that do exist. Among the mid-range, I would say the Serena and the Sopa Lodges are kind of your four-star, you know, premium mid-range kind of, mm-hmm. options. So that's...
And would you recommend going with travel operators? Because we've had this discussion before with regards to cruises, the fact that booking everything together can be quite complicated. Sometimes it's better just doing everything in one go and you get a better price.
Yeah, so what they do is, what you would normally end up doing, I guess, is booking your international flights yourself, and then they would take care of everything else once you land. So once you've reached Nairobi, they would pick you up and then, you know, take care of you and then drop you back once it's over to Nairobi Airport, and that's where their services would end. And of course, you just get back home, so yeah.
Fiona's just come in with something, and we'll talk later on in the programme with our doctor, who's coming a bit later on. Only thing stopping travel to Kenya is yellow fever injections. Very difficult for kids or elderly, and does take time to work, needs mentioning. So thanks for that. Do you have any injections when you went there?
Yeah, now the interesting thing is, when we took the shots, it was actually for the return to the UAE. It's more the preventive side of when you get back to the UAE, and not so much that country there needs it. You understand? So it's so that is what. But it lasts for 10 years, the effect, so that's a good thing to actually take, so you can actually then travel.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay, we'll put that to our doctor when he comes
for
in
sure.
A little bit later on. All the information is going to be up on our blog a little bit later on, and also on beyondavisit.com.
Yes, that's right, beyondavisit.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, the same handle.
Fantastic. Andrea, there she is, taking us on safari, and very appropriately dressed, I might add, as well.